Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the 3-for-1 Sky Fantasy podcast from Fantasy Football Hub. Paul, how was your weekend, and how was your Sky weekend going so far?
Our weekend was good. I was down in a little place called Barry Island, if you know it well, Fergie.
I know it reasonably well, having grown up there, yeah.
Sky weekend, you know, I thought I had a terrible weekend, and if you look at my team and you look at the points, it still feels like it's terrible. But then if you look at my overall rank and like changes to position in leagues, I've just kind of stayed still. So I guess not a...
How many points did you score?
53. And that was a Bowen no-show, Dunk getting sent off, and just, yeah, just a lack of points all around, really.
Yeah. I scored 50, and I was looking at the Sky Content Creators League. I think that gives a... I think Luke mentioned it last week, didn't he, on the Planet FPL, but it gives you a bit of a sanity check, and I think we were two of the lowest scorers. There was a lot of kind of mid to late 50s, couple in the 60s, and Luke flying high, 65. He's up to 19th overall. Well played, Luke. Absolutely superb. But yeah, definitely. I think I had a rank drop from about 2.6K to 3.1, and I don't think, unless you can talk me into it, I don't think I'm going to be planning anything this evening. I'm expecting a further drop. Quite a bit to chat about this evening. It's interesting times with lots of players we don't want in our teams, but maybe not so much that we do. There's not so many that we actually do want now, potentially, though. I think we may in a week or two, but yeah, interesting stuff. Yeah, Paul came down for the weekend. For those of you who don't know, we had a bet last year. Whoever had the highest score over all four fantasy games had to pay for the other to come to their hometown. So Paul beat me last year, very, very fortunately. No, it wasn't fortunate. You backed me last year. So Paul came down.
Picked the year that I won Sky to challenge
you. Paul came down to Barry Island this weekend, and we had a bit of a drunken day and night, a nice curry, nice breakfast, nice walk on the beach and stuff. So yeah, we had a good time. We also set the record straight in pool. Not that I want to go on about it at all, but yeah, I think Paul. While I'm eating Paul's Dunphy pie that he brought down for me, which is like a Dunfermline pie. Paul is eating humble pie from the pool table, so we're both eating a bit of pie this weekend.
Very good, very good.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. Anyway, welcome everyone. Loads of you in the chat. Windy's in first as usual. Dunk. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about chatting about Lewis Dunk. But I suppose we better had, haven't we? Bake97. Darren Skidmore is in, said he seems to be confused on Dunk's length of ban. So my understanding is that it's a two-match ban. He's still on four yellows, so another yellow would yield yet another one. So that's my... Is that your understanding, Paul?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Two-match ban for dissent. I think they changed it either this season or last season.
Okay. Ian Cohen's in. Dave Hannigan, Joseph Robinson, Ashley Howell, Jason Harry, Mog Dog Boxhead, John A. Cunley, Sam D. Taylor, and many, many others. Ian Parrin, tuning in from Hurghada. I'm not sure where that is. Where's Hurghada, Paul? Do you know? If anyone knows where that is in the chat, let us know. Hurghada. Welcome all. Paul, we've got the fixtures up for the next... Well, from now until overhaul. We'll chat next a little bit in more depth about Wolves and Fulham this evening. But we're kind of winding down now. Some teams have only got... six or seven games left now until the overhaul. What's your overarching thoughts on the next few weeks?
Yeah, I'm still going to try and hold my nerve and not make many transfers over this period. I think with the proximity of games, I'm hoping that a few players will be rested, and the fact that I'm not making extra moves to bring in players and take out players that I don't want to get rid of. And I think you made the point there. It's maybe not that I don't want to get rid of them, but there's nothing really standing out. It's a very strange season for me, and that I like to take a sample of data, 8 games, 12 games, and then you drop your shortlist to 17 or 18 players that you want. My shortlist just now is like 5, and I own them. So yeah, like And I had thought about getting Liverpool defender in or doing something where it was two moves to move Dunk on for a Liverpool defender. But with Alisson's injury, he often keeps him in games with his great shot stopping as well. And I would just feel less confident. I know Keller's only 6.1 million, but I just feel very less confident about going in there. So I'm going to try and hold my nerve. The thing that stands out to me is the two Brighton single game days. And we know that there could be issues with Dunk in terms of if he did hold him and then he was to pick up that fifth yellow, then he could miss one of the captaincy days. The first one's at home to Crystal Palace. Now, I know a lot of people brought in Johnson or brought in Anderson, but that single game day is right after the Arsenal game for them, and then they played Man City the week before, so a lot of people were talking about coming off Anderson and going maybe back to Romero. So that still leaves the Brighton game in isolation. This leads to what I would first and foremost do with Dunk if I was on four at the back, so like 4-4-2. I think I would move him to Pascal Gross and cover off those two Brighton games thereafter. He's at a nice price point. He's just a player that he's so consistent season on season, and yet he somehow never makes it into my team. But I think that I would make that move if on four at the back. And I know we're going to talk about other options and other replacements, including what you'd do for tonight's game, potentially from Dunk as well. But other than that, I know Porro was an option to move Dunk onto yesterday. That time's gone now.
He started game on fire, didn't he? We were driving back to the airport and we listened on the radio, which was I've listened to a match on the radio for quite or a match that matters on the radio for quite some time, and it just seemed to be every 2 minutes it was like Porro, and we were kind of looking at each other thinking, "Geez, he's doing
Alvarez."
But yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? And obviously, Onan Son, hearing him score three times on the radio, and every time offside or whatever it was as well. So
yeah, thankfully there wasn't too much difference between Son and Watkins in the end. With Watkins getting booked, got 6 points, so four difference, which is good for those that went for Watkins for sure. So said tend to look at like. I just don't like fullbacks, and that's another thing. If question comes up on Matty Cash, if I was an owner for Matty Cash, I never personally liked that as an option anyway, and I would definitely look to move on now. I don't think there's any guarantee of his minutes anymore starting games. I thought Villa looked brilliant in the second half. I actually watched it on my phone in the airport, so I did watch the game. And Villa's fixtures aren't particularly great either, and he's on four bookings now, so Matty Cash would definitely be somebody that I'd be looking to move on if I owned.
So it didn't even click, but we're going to get the lineups for Fulham and Wolves in about 24 minutes as well, so if we're still on there, which we probably should be, that's going to test my nerve, that is, mate. See, I think it's all very well saying you're going to skip when it's like kind of in the future, but when it gets to it, you see the lineups and you think, you know, it'll be, oh, Fulham have got a makeshift defence. It's like, oh my goodness, we'll need to get in Huang, you know, and stuff. But yeah, we'll see how much the nerves hold. Ian is in Egypt, by the way. Red Sea. I think he did mention that last week, actually. So yeah, hope you're enjoying, Ian. I think kind of looking at the next few weeks. I know we mentioned Mbeumo, who I think is, you know, if you are kind of four at the back or, you know, or five at the back, I think Mbeumo would be a really good option to move Dunk on to. I think if I could move Dunk on to someone that I feel I would get real benefit from, because I'm at three at the back,
yep,
then I probably would. But at the moment, I just can't see it. I think the kind of player which I would look to move him on for potentially would be someone like Romero. But obviously by the time Romero's back, Dunk will only have one game back. So that I probably won't do that move. But the point I'm trying to make is
I've thought about that too.
I can't really see any player that I can get massive upside from yet anyway. Apart from, and we touched on it a couple of weeks ago, I think, the Chelsea fixture swing could potentially be a time where you know we make a couple of transfers, but again, maybe not so much for Dunk, but maybe who was the problem at the time. So, in a very long-winded way, I think what I'm trying to say is the only real opportunities I can see pre-overhaul for moves that would be of benefit are that Chelsea swing and the Haaland off swing when Man City obviously play their final game before the World Club Cup. I think other than that, I can't see too much else that are very exciting. Have you got anything else in mind, Paul?
No, I think I'm planning on Areola to Sanchez probably for the Chelsea side. But I'd only get 3 games out of it, but there is a hop-on point and cover off the captaincy in the at that point as well. Although I do have Palmer, so I would have captaincy cover already. Yeah. I might do that move later on, but I'm not. But that's really all I've got planned at present. I think Anderson, probably to Romero, yeah. And I think I'm going to hold through Dunk. But if I was on four at the back, I would strongly consider Pascal Gross. And then that covers off the captaincies nicely as well. And then probably Mbeumo would be my second option there.
JT, apologies, Paul, go on.
I was going to say, I've done, like, we're going to talk about Huang. Kind of underwhelms me as an option. It doesn't pick up tiers very often. I just can't see a massive haul from him. Another person I had considered was Tim Ream. And I think it's easy to go and look at what Tim Ream's like bonus points are this season. Like, he's picked up 13 bonus points, so just over average, him just over one per game. But I thought I'd look at it from the opposite side. So what do Wolves give away in terms of passing stats? So in Wolves' 12 games, they've given up passing bonus to 16 players this season. So maybe that looks a lot in isolation, but 5 of them was against the Spurs players in one game. 5 of them was against Liverpool players in one game. Of the remaining 6, 2 were against Man City players, 2 were against Brighton players. So you expect all 4 of those teams to dominate against everybody, even against one another, and picking up passing bonus. The only other 2 players to pick up passing bonus was Shar when they played Newcastle, and Carlos from Aston Villa, and he only just made it, got 60 points. So in 6 games, they've not given up passing bonus. And some of those games were against teams that you might have expected to pick up some. So they played Crystal Palace, and the reason for everyone getting Anderson is you think that Crystal Palace pick up passing bonus, and yet didn't against Wolves as well, which makes me think that Tim Ream probably will struggle for passing bonus tonight. It's just another reason. Like, if you know he's going to get 5 points and then doubled up to get the 10, even if they concede, then maybe that's a nice base to start from. I'm just not 100% convinced that they will pick up passing bonus either. Whether that's to do with Wolves' press or not, it's just it's kind of the reason why I've rolled them out. And then you made the point we were at breakfast yesterday, and it's kind of stuck with me a little bit. So I looked at that separately, but then you said, I just don't want to log into the Sky app and look at Tim Ream, my team. And I was like, nah, maybe I'm the same for that reason as well. So there's some stats and some analysis to back up the decision not to hold them and not to hold them in my team. So yeah, I no Polina tonight for Wolves to make a difference. And then on the Wolves side, defensively, there's no Dawson tonight either. So even if I want to go for Max Kilman, which Wolves have kept 1 clean sheet in 12 games this season, I'm not particularly interested. I still maintain the goalkeepers would have been my favourite option to go for. And now I've got fires elsewhere in my team. I don't really want to be making transfers there. So taking all of that into consideration and the fact that I'm on 3 at the back, yeah, I'm not gonna make any moves tonight.
How many times have we made moves? Jordan Bayer, Patrick Van Aanholt, where we bring in these knobheads because they've got a single game day, and then once even if they hit in the single game day, 2 weeks later you think, well, was it really worth it? I've now got this player in my team who I have to transfer out because he's just no good. Because otherwise we'd be looking at him anyway, wouldn't we?
Remember the Ryan Fraser bandwagon, or Brentford, Norgard, and they were playing West Ham on a single game day, and Norgard was relatively cheap, and I think he was like low 7s, and a lot of people moved him on as well. But that's not to say these things can happen, but like, if you just weigh up the amount of times it does versus the amount of times it doesn't, I'm more happy holding my transfer.
Yeah, and I think I know I kind of mentioned a few times, but one of the things is, especially in Sky, I always think about when I really decide on a transfer, is always think towards the end of last season when I desperate for Trent, desperate for Estupinan. If I'd have got those in, I would have finished really, really strongly. I don't feel strongly about bringing a player in for this. It would be a pure, in my view, a pure luxury move. A luxury move for a player I don't even really want. So I think I'd always try and think about that as well, is that this transfer could be so powerful in the second half of the season. It could enable me, instead of going, you know, if Arsenal get like a 4-for-1 or a 5-for-1, it could enable me to jump, instead of 4 Arsenal players, get on 5 Arsenal players for a 5-for-1 rather than bringing in, well, like Ream, who's going to score a 20-pointer tonight. Now we've said all this, but such is such is the game. So sounds like
it's not like if it was last season and Mitrovic was here still, then I'd be much more interested in that. And even Polina, but then Polina's at a more awkward price point now. I think he's the same, like he's not too dissimilar to like in Mbeumo and Gross and such like. So yeah, just not. I know neither of them's obviously playing, so didn't have those options. Those might have tempted me.
Or he's similar, you could have said, instead of the double negative. So keep pumping.
I don't disagree.
I agree. While we're also touching, you mentioned the keepers, and I think we're going to see a bit of a transition over the next couple of weeks in terms of keepers. We've got a graphic up now with Sarr. We can put Leno in this as well. Sanchez, they're obviously right in the front for that. Chelsea run 6.6 million. Kelleher's in there as well. So for those who haven't seen it, looks like Alisson could be ruled out for quite a long time. We've heard up to 5 weeks, which seems very specific, in all honesty, considering he did himself on Saturday. But
Do you think that it's he's ruled out to the end of the year and there's exactly 5 weeks until the end of the year?
Do you think that's what it is? Like, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I'm speculating that someone said till the end of the year, and then
maybe, yeah, and they said 5 weeks, yeah, maybe. But that's that's a lot of games. Kelleher's 6.1 million, who will undoubtedly come in at that time. I think in terms of Maitha, I agree with what you said earlier that Alisson is, if not the best keeper in the world, he's certainly one of the best, and he we see it time and again. He gets save points, fantastic keeper, real confidence at the back and composure. Kelleher, he probably is a decent keeper, but he's certainly no Alisson, so he can expect maybe a few less clean sheets and less saves. But, he is a very tempting price. If Liverpool do keep a few clean sheets, they've got a decent run still now. Fulham, Sheffield United, Palace, and they've got Burnley as well on Boxing Day. There's a temptation there. Sanchez, as we know, with Chelsea, won a really good run soon, or is Sarr and Leno, or indeed, as a couple of people have mentioned, a daisy chain, go on Sarr and Leno, then go on to Sanchez or go on to Kelleher. So what's your up to date thinking, Paul, on keepers?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch Kelleher for the reasons, and if you then had to make the transfer back, you might not have the money to go to anybody. I do like the Sanchez move. It's almost less appealing now that I own Palmer, because knowing that it'd be for 3 games, like, do I really want to be making a move out from Ariola at that point? I know he's not pulling up trees. At least he is getting some saves bonus, though, to add to his appearance points. So right now, again, nobody really stands out. Newcastle's got mixed fixtures, so yeah. I'd always wanted to get Pope in, but I'm not that desperate to pick him up now. I do think Areola's been playing well. Like, I've got him, and I know that he's semi-popular in the game now. I think he's owned by, what is it? Oh, he's actually owned by a lot less than what I thought. He's only owned by 6% in the top 1K.
Okay.
And 2% overall. Maybe I'm speaking my own. I'm speaking for my own behalf thoughts. Only now then. But I think I was listening to Planet FPL's FPL pod earlier on, and James had asked Suge about his opinion on Areola, and he's like, yeah, crap fantasy option, but he's actually been one of West Ham's best players this season, so it's not necessarily his fault that he's not keeping the clean sheet. Yeah. So I'm pretty happy to hold on to him just now. It's nothing really stands out that I'm desperate to make the move on to, and in seasons gone by, if I feel like that about a situation, I think it's more often than not better just to sit on my hands and not do anything.
As people did with Onana, and now he's the top scoring keeper in the game. Funny how
Yeah.
these things unfold, aren't they?
Yeah.
Incredible. These last three
I don't know what
games.
I'll do with Bowen. I don't know what I'll do with Bowen if he's out at the weekend again.
You think he's out? Do you think he's gonna be out? I don't get the feeling he's gonna be out again. He had like a late fitness test and he failed it.
Yeah.
But if you had a late fitness test, if he's gonna be out for another week again, you'd probably guess that they wouldn't have had a late fitness test. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe that, if he was, maybe I'd move him onto Gross and then dunk to someone else. I'm not sure. I really don't like, there's not that many great defensive assets, but I really don't like being on three at the back because it just makes you completely
It does. It
inflexible.
does. One good thing about Bowen is we'll get to see the lineup on Sunday at 2 o'clock, along with the Brighton lineup, along with a couple of others. And if we do get updated news then that he is out, there's an option to move him on to someone else then, which is which is useful. Yeah, I think in terms of keepers, I'm on Johnstone. I've also got Anderson, which. I think Anderson's been an underwhelming move so far. Probably go Anderson back to Romero. Obviously, if I do get rid of Dunk, which I'm not planning to at the moment, Johnstone would cover off the single game day quite nicely. But I also don't expect Parr to keep a clean sheet in that game either. So I don't like being wed to players a single game days where I just don't see him as much an option anyway. I think that is something which a lot of people do, can make the mistake of just having cover when realistically they're not going to do a lot anyway. So really good point by Joseph in the chat. Mike who's about Bowen in Thursday. Obviously they play in Europe this week as well, so we should have a press conference ahead of that, and also then ahead of the weekend as well, so we should get some really good news
Yeah, it'll be
on
interesting what
that.
it does because West Ham have to get something really out of the game on Thursday as well. So it's not like they've got nothing to play
Yeah,
for.
that's right, that's right.
Because you would have thought they might just like rest Bowen like for another 3 days and then give him the whole week off. But yeah, you might see him get rolled out.
Couple of other questions just while we're in this period. Views on Thiago Silva long term. This is off Donny. While Chelsea fixtures look good, not sure he plays all the games. What's your views on that, Paul?
Yeah, similar opinion that he is a good asset when he's playing. I think he'll only miss one or two of the games, to be honest. I do think this probably has to be the last season for Silva and for Chelsea, though, surely, if they're going to build for the future and spend all this money on centre half. So you're going to start playing them. He didn't have the best game against Newcastle at the weekend either.
Okay. Similar on Silva. Obviously Colwill is cheap, but he's unlikely to get pass in. And looking at the team now, I think probably only Sanchez is kind of the only option at the back who you can maybe rely on for clean sheet plus maybe a couple of extra points. Obviously the for I keep the clean sheet is 9, which is as good as a defender with pass in. So I think Sanchez is the Chelsea option personally.
Sterling might be a good option if Bowen is missing on Sunday and you didn't think he was going to come back. They're playing at 2 o'clock as well at home to Brighton, who now don't have Dunk as well, and Chelsea's got that run as well, similar priced.
I tell you, mate, who I'm really interested in is Nkunku. Over the next few weeks with their run, if he hits the ground running, he could be a massive differential. They go into a really good run of fixtures. He's 9.4 million forward, which is not it's not mega expensive. You can get to him. We've had a couple of questions about players a bit bored of Saka, for example. Nkunku, if you go into this run with Sanchez, Palmer and Nkunku, and they Chelsea get some real good results, you could absolutely fly up there. So I'm not saying I'm gonna even if he starts on the weekend, I probably won't bring him in because I don't expect him to play 90 minutes or anything, but we get to see him this weekend, and if he's looking sharp, if he gets a goal and no one looks good, he could even be on penalties as well. But yeah, just another one to chuck in there. We did have a question about Saka as well. George asks about, is it viable to lose Saka? You know, he's he's getting the odd assist. But I did see something yesterday on social media that you know, he feels teams are double teaming him now and marking him, and he's finding it really, really difficult to, you know, to kind of get things. I think he's 10 million, is he, or 10.2? What's your thoughts? 10.4. What's your thoughts on Saka?
I just don't. He's still the fifth highest scorer player in the game.
Okay.
But now I'm looking at the wrong table. Maybe he's not. Sorry, he's six. He's sixth highest scoring midfielder in the game. There's just not a lot of options that I think at the moment that I need to free up the money from.
Yeah.
I just mentioned Sterling there, and if Man City weren't missing the game and Rodri wasn't on a fourth yellow card, maybe picking up Rodri, and it's like mentioned Sterling there and Bueno, maybe they're both options as well. I had said before that it would have taken an injury for me to get in Bueno in, based on just the hop on points weren't particularly nice for him, and then he does obviously miss that game against Man City as well. I just like, look, maybe this is the season for a differential punt on something, because I can see a lot of people not making many moves over this period of time, just on the uncertainty on players and the lack of emergence of a pool of players that everyone's getting excited about. But for me, I just there's nothing standing out as I'm even on a Sunday just now. It feels like every game day, other than those singles, is kind of mapped out. Salah, Haaland, and it's really easy to cover those off. If there was something where it was, you know, like a Man United single where you could take a punt on Bruno or a Chelsea game. I know that you've got the one on Christmas Eve, but or a Chelsea game where you could take a punt on Nkunku if he plays and Sterling and then captain them. So you're getting a double differential, if you like, in those situations. I just don't see that many opportunities like that at the moment, and hence why I'm kind of comfortable holding at present.
Yep, fair. Good point of Joseph. Sterling's on four yellows, apparently. Couple of other questions before we look at the game week. Who is the one player you don't have that you want, but that you have no plans to get till overhaul? That's a good question. It's off Tony Richardson.
Darwin Nunes.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Think he could he could be good, couldn't he? These next three fixtures we said are good, aren't they? Fulham, Sheffield United, and Palace. And you get the clues on the Thursday as well, don't you? I think he started the last five league games now for Liverpool. I think he is that number nine now, isn't he? So yeah, he's a very good example. Can't really think off the top of my head. There's no one incredibly exciting at the moment. I've got kind of most of the players.
Mbeumo's the other one, probably.
I can't get to Mbeumo unless we have a presser on Thursday. Bowen's out for 4 weeks. Bowen to Mbeumo is a pretty obvious one. Then, other than that, I can't really. I think the way the fixtures are now as well, if you look at the Fantasy Football Hub fixture ticket, all the teams at the top, or most teams at the top, are like Forest, Burnley, and all, you know, all teams you don't want, whereas all the rest of them are a bit further down. So potentially Anthony Gordon is a player who they've got really good fixtures. United next week, which is a tough one. Then they go Everton, Spurs away, Fulham, Luton, Forest. And he's been very good. And I think he's a really good player. I'm not sure how much he is. You could even get to him, actually. He's not someone who I may, you know, I'm not planning on bringing him in. But if Bowen, you know, if it transpires like I do, I don't know, Bowen and Dunk to Gordon and someone, or something, you know, something like that. There's an option there as well. Just looking at Gordon now, he is the sixth, seventh, eighth highest scorer midfielder, 7.8 million, 72 points. Fit, you know, young, fit as a fiddle, really good fixtures. Like him as well.
Is there a lack of talisman, do you think, this season? Do you know, talisman for clubs? Like, I'm thinking maybe more like the bottom eight, like seven or eight teams. Maybe Solanke is for Bournemouth, but you've got like Fulham, Wolves. I don't know if that class Pedro Neto. I know he went in that consistency, getting getting assists, but it wasn't like he was scoring a lot of goals and then hitting shots tier to add to that as well. You've got all the teams in and around the relegation zone.
Yeah.
There's nobody really standing out.
Yeah,
for
normally he's
like
a go-to player. Like, you know, if it's Fulham, yeah, like Erigo Mitrovic
like Pukki when he was at Norwich.
Yeah, yeah.
And
really good shout. Yeah, I think so. But I even think that in a lot of the bigger teams, even okay, Salah, right? Yeah, and Haaland, obviously. But Spurs, we were tossing up between it would have been Kane. Now is it Son? Is it Maddison? Is it is it Romero? Chelsea, have they got a talisman at the moment? I don't think Arsenal have got a talisman. At the moment, everything's really shared. A lot of the teams are quite similar. I think United. I think last year maybe Rashford was it, the year before Bruno, but again, there's no massive go-to player at the moment, is there? Potentially Bruno, but he hasn't been pulling up trees. He's the in terms of points, he's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9th highest, only 69 points for 10.7 million. Yeah, it's a really good point. Final couple of questions. Jay asks, FFSF's recent post shows the majority of players with top 200 finishes in both the last two seasons seem to be slightly struggling. Is this your view, or is it just that with 50 transfers, those players who smash transfers early are naturally taking longer to drop away? Interesting question.
I really like that question.
Really good question.
a couple of things for me, I think. So I agree that a lot of people are struggling, and it's not to do with the 50 transfers either. I don't think. I think everyone will start rising. The engaged managers will start rising. Maybe not as early as what they've done in previous seasons. There's a couple of things. I think non-Sky, like non-tier scoring players in the Sky game, did well right at the start of the season that had high ownership.
Okay.
Like Trippier had like a ridiculous ownership, and I always maintain I don't think he's second highest scorer this season. Maybe I'm wrong. But there was a few, like Anderson done really well at the start of the season, Mbeumo done really well at the start of the season. Now I'm not saying that some engaged managers didn't get them. I think Luke was on a few of them like really early and done really well. But those aren't the type of players that are often really popular in the Sky game. And they all done well and had decent overall ownership at the start, and therefore it's harder to catch those that got that boost at the start. And then in terms of the single game days, I've mentioned this before, but it wasn't that they were in isolation. Like, remember, like Forrest had two. So it's like, I can give up one. But if there's two, like I really want to be getting a player in that's going to cover off both of these. And they were just really underwhelming, or injuries happened and like to certain players at certain times as well on that front. So I think a couple of those things are factors into it. Every season there's more content as well, right? And I'm not naive enough to think that, I'm not saying that that's an issue. I'd be a hypocrite because I'm on here doing a podcast if I thought it was. But there is more content. Like Bobby does some great threads in terms of, like, if you want like a quick question, here's a thread about it. You need to read six things and you can come to a conclusion about a content creator that's really engaged and is laying it out for what a sensible conclusion is drawn from that as well. So you are going to be doing that, and the more content is, the more engaged managers across from primarily FPL come across as well. So I can imagine that the concentration of good players at the top is going to just keep on increasing season on season.
Yep, fair point. Just before I answer, we've got the teams for this evening. We've got for Fulham, Leno, Castagna, Ream, Bassi, Robinson, Reed, Kearney, Iwobi, Andreas, Willian, and Raul Jimenez playing against his old club. As Tim says there, Jimenez hat-trick tonight guaranteed against his former club. Wolves, Sarr, Semedo, Bueno, Kilman, Totti, Aitnori, Gomez, Lamina, Bellegarde, Huang and Cunha. Two teams full of rogues, non-fantasy options.
I really like Cunha as a player.
I just
don't think I'd pick him. And how Rangers got 20 million for Calvin Bassey when he went to Ajax, I'll never know.
C. Tobes puts in the chat, who's Bassey? And Aaron Alton says, Shirley. Shirley Bassey, very good. I agree with you, on all your points there. I also think that the transfer usage has been higher this year, and I think the single game days and injuries have also forced a few more transfers. Like, I've used 16. I don't think I've used that many tactical transfers. I think a lot of them I've used have been, transfer related single game day. It's not, I haven't just moved one onto the other as kind of luxury, whereas last year it was very, very different. So I still think we will see a massive concentration of engaged managers at the top at the end. I just think that this season has manifested itself a bit differently, so that we were both hovering in the top 200 last year, wasn't we? Don't feel I've played any differently at all. And I've got less transfers. I've got no doubt that towards the back end that top 100 will be filled with names which we always kind of see, but the way it's going to get there will be slightly different.
I've got a player for you.
Go on then.
So a player that I would like in my team that I won't have before overhaul, Alexander Isak.
Ah, interesting one. I agree. The only thing with him, he's a bit injury prone. I think that's the only thing I'd say with Isak. He strikes me as one of these. You'll get him in, you'll score a brace, and then he'll be going off the pitch in a brace. That's the only kind of thing
it's one of these players that can win you or lose you the game, right? Like with Wilson last season. Like, I know that Wilson's junior record's similar.
High impact, but not someone you want to bring in for like an eight week stretch potentially when you're looking to preserve transfers. So let's have a look at the weekends. No early game on Saturday. I didn't realise that. Okay, interesting. 3 o'clock. So Arsenal Wolves, get to see the lineups for. Brentford Luton, Burnley Sheffield United. So we get to see Mbeumo starting against Luton. It'll be interesting to see if, I do think it's easier sometimes when you don't see the lineups and you can't make changes. But when you see them, it's a bit. Forest and Everton at 5:30. And Newcastle Man United, what a good game that's going to be at 8 o'clock. And Mbeumo is an interesting one there. I think, if we do get news of Bowen, for example, Bowen's out, I think Bowen to Mbeumo will be popular. Any other thoughts on those Saturday games?
Interesting, the point I just made about Wolves can be applied here as well. Like, as Saliba is guaranteed for passing bonus as you think he is in that game, he didn't get it the weekend away to Brentford, because my default at present would be to go for him, but I'm not as convinced he'll get passing bonus as I was before looking into Wolves's what Wolves give up. So it'll be him or Saliba, him or Saka for me.
I think Wolves will score, so I think I'll be going for Saka. I think Wolves are a good team. If they had a single game day coming up, I think I'd go for a Wolves player. Sunday, 4 2 o'clock games. West Ham and Palace, Bournemouth, Aston Villa, Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool, and Fulham, Man City, and Tottenham. Potentially interesting one for captaincy here, Paul.
I hadn't given that much thought before coming on, and I think Haaland.
I think Haaland against Spurs. I think the way that Spurs play with this high line, I just think Pep's a genius. He'll just manipulate, like, Postecoglou hasn't got a pragmatic bone in his body, right? He's not, he said, I mean, he's not going to change for anyone. So I expect this to be hopefully a high scoring game with lots of players getting in behind and things. So yeah, I can imagine Haaland and Son having a bit of a field day, to be honest. So yeah, I think I'll be going Haaland as well. West Ham and Palace and Chelsea and Brighton, we get to see, but we get to see who starts for Brighton at the back as well, because Van Heck, I think, has played the last few. He's incredibly cheap. He needed something like 6.6 maybe, or something like that.
I can't see you going there, especially if you were doing dunk to him and then you'd want whoever you were bringing in to be guaranteed to be playing the times that you need them on the captaincy.
Yeah, 6.7. He's played the last three when Dunk hasn't been there, I would say. So I say high risk, potential high reward. But yeah. Okay, we've gone through all the questions a little bit early. Actually, let's have a quick look at next midweek. Because obviously next midweek, we will be podding again before this, which is good. But there's obviously games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wolves and Burnley, Luton and Arsenal. Probably Saka captain there, I'm guessing, away to Luton. Maybe Saliba if you haven't got him. And then Wednesday, 4-7th. I love it when the games are 45 minutes apart. I think that's quite a new trend over the last 2 or 3 years, isn't it? I think it's when it's on Amazon or something. Brighton, Brentford, Fulham, Forest, Sheffield United, Liverpool, Palace, and Bournemouth. And then you've got Villa against Man City at 8:15, and United, Chelsea, 8:15. What an evening that's going to be a really fun evening that is. Captaincy is potentially interesting. Liverpool away to Sheffield United, Haaland away to Villa. Early thoughts there, Paul?
I prefer Liverpool's fixture. Sheffield United's been pretty poor at Bramall Lane as well. That's conceded 3 against Bournemouth at the weekend there. It was at home that they conceded the 8 to Newcastle as well. I think that makes it a little bit more straightforward for me. Like, Villa's got that like really, really strong home record as well. Is it 12 or 13 wins in a row?
Very good point, actually. And then Thursday, Everton, Newcastle, Tottenham, West Ham. Probably be going for Sun, I think. Yourself?
Yeah, it'll be Sun for me as well when it comes round.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this and I can't do it because of formation. But I say Hwang and Cunha don't really appeal massively to me. However, if you were on 4 at the back, if you were taking out Dunk, you could do Dunk to the Wolves player. You get 2 games from him tonight. They play away to Arsenal the weekend. Okay, that's not an ideal fixture. But home at Burnley is a good fixture. And you're getting those four games for nothing as a daisy chain then to move on to somebody else.
You can't be saying this to me at 7:10. You know what I'm like. I'll be fretting over the next 15 minutes.
You're on 3 at the back. You're on 3 at the back, are you not?
Yeah.
But you're not going to do it.
But even a defender, you could. 4-0.
I don't like the defense. I don't like the...
Home to Burnley's awful.
Is that like, how many times are you going to throw sarcasm my way? That's like the 4th or 5th time on this pod already.
You deserve it because all the luck you have in fantasy football. Interesting. Anup says, hi guys, give us a shout please. Awesome podcast, love it. Shout out to you there, Anup. Anything to add, Paul? I think we're nearly done.
No, good luck for whatever you go with tonight. If you've, I've given my thoughts on certainly on a Dunk situation. If you're on 4 at the back, I would move to a midfielder. If you're going to chain it through one of the players that's playing tonight, like Hwang or Cunha, I know he's a forward. They both kind of make sense. If you've got a longer term plan, maybe bringing them in and then moving them on to Gross, like might work well, and you've got the captaincy back. But 3 at the back, just don't, like, I've got less interest in making moves that way.
Yep. I did miss a question, sorry, of FPL Commander. Cash Diaby and Watkins, any one of those worth exchanging for a Fulham or Wolves player tonight? I wouldn't take out Watkins. I probably wouldn't take out Diaby either. Cash, potentially.
I would consider doing Diaby to the Wolves player on that chain as well. I don't think he's good at all. But if you're on 4 at the back and you have cash and you can get to one of those players, I'd definitely do that.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Paul. And that is it from us for this week. As usual, thank you all so much for watching and listening. Your continued support is much, much appreciated. You got me thinking now, Paul. 48 minutes left. Thank you so much, Paul. Where can people find you?
On Twitter at Paul McAnulty, once McAnulty.
You'll probably also find him practicing on a pool table for the next time I give him a good hammering. My handle on Twitter is at FFH_Fergie. If you like what you watched, please press the like button. Remember to subscribe in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast versions and leave us a nice comment. We'll be back next week previewing Sky Game Week 18. We hope you have a great Game Week 17 and goodbye for now.
Thank you.